Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Watch this. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out. I want to preach from the sermon title, The Next Big Thing. Look at your neighbor and say, the next big thing. Would you pray with me? Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would send the type of anointing right now that makes preaching easy. That you would anoint me, Father, Lord, to speak as the oracle from God. I pray, Lord, that, Lord, as I decrease in my wisdom, that your heavenly wisdom would increase upon my soul, my thoughts, my imaginations, my word. I pray, Lord, that you would use my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I would, Father, be a scribe upon the hearts of men and women in this place. Lord, I pray that we come into this place one way, but we leave out satisfied, never ashamed, and so blessed that we will refuse to ever be stressed out again. I pray that revelation would spark a revolution, and God, Lord, that it would move us to our wealthy place. Oh God, that you would bless us and enlarge our territories. Oh God, would you increase us and blow our minds with your goodness. And God, as much evil and as much hell as we have seen, I pray that the days of good overpower the bad. Now, Father, have your way in this house. Bless your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. You know, Samsung just came out with a new commercial. LeBron James, amen, broke out for game one of the new NBA season. And their slogan in this war that they have against Apple is always the next great thing, or the next big thing. And I want you to hear me, because last year I bought the next big thing. And I bought this note too, because it was different than most phones. It had a pen that you could, a stylus that you can go in and you can write and extract and extrapolate and do all kind of stuff that I never seemed to use. But they had built this as the next big thing. And now, just a few months later, they got another big thing. Because in the world, you'll never be satisfied, because there'll always be some technology, hey man, that's the next big thing. But can I tell you about the power of the Holy Ghost? That from the days of old, that it has always been the next big thing. That it is the thing, hey man, that we all need on a daily basis so that we can live big in Christ. Can I tell you about the power of the Spirit of Almighty God? I want you to hear me. The next big thing is the same thing that happened, hey man, 2,000 years ago. It is the same gospel that we preach, how God, he wants to restore man. How that God, his restoration is so strong that he sends his son, hey man, born of a virgin, removed from his glory, wrapped in humanity, hey man, birthed into the world, a king coming to be the ransom for lost humanity. Can I tell you that the next big thing has come? It has come. It is here. That it's always, amen, existed. And he'll never, amen, need an upgrade. We will need, amen, to upgrade our prayer lives and our worship. But he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the next. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. But I know the next big thing. Hallelujah. He lived a sinless life for 33 years. as a sinless man. He had demonstrated the works of God. He died for me and for you. And for all eternity, that we might get the gift of eternal life. Watch this. His death was so powerful that it made the earth go dark. That the whole earth had to, amen, it went black, amen, for a season. When Jesus got up on the cross, that he is so powerful, is that when he was on the cross, that the temple split from top to bottom. You know that's amazing, amen, to split it from the top to the bottom and for it to be broken half. Is generally, if something is going to break, it breaks from the bottom up. But his power was on display. He is so amazing that, amen, at his crucifixion, when all, amen, humanity had forsaken him, the Bible says that when he said it is finished, all of a sudden those who are in coffins and graveyards, dead people got up and walked the streets of Jerusalem. He is the next big thing. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. I'm talking about the one who came down through 42 generations, the Son of the living God. He would come down into earth and jump into a body after his death, burial, and resurrection. And then when his disciples would run up on him, he would say, hold up, don't touch me. I need to go to my Father and your Father. Because after his resurrection, he had to go and present himself before the mercy seat of God. He had to go and enter into the holies of holies with his blood, amen, shed on our behalf to consecrate him and to solidify the deal that was made. Somebody shout the next big thing. It's already here. Watch this. And so Jesus is so amazing that he goes to heaven and he sits down at his Father's right hand. And the Bible says now he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. Watch this. Jesus, he leaves the earth on a cloud after having fulfilled the will of God, after having given instruction to his disciples and tell them, and he told them what you ought to wait for. He said, before you go out there and be a witness for me, he said, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. You need some power. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you need some power. You can live this life, an amazing life, but you need some power. You need an anointing. You have to come out of flesh. You have to press into his presence and be transformed into his image. And we cannot be conformed to the world. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We have to take on his personality and his identity. And we have to take on his anointing and his grace and power. And so 40 days, he walked around earth talking to people, his disciples, about what their responsibility was in the kingdom of Almighty God. Watch this. Jesus goes to heaven and he sits down at his Father's right hand. And now from that day into this day, the Bible says he is alive so that he can make intercession for the saints. Jesus' main responsibility right now is not just to answer your prayers. It is to pray for the stuff that you don't notice coming at you and to keep you, amen, saved and sanctified and on course. Because, you know, some of us, we won't stay on course if Jesus hadn't prayed for us himself, because we will chase all kind of stuff outside of the king's will for our life, and we will act like insanity is wonderful dipped in chocolate. Amen. Come, you have to realize the Bible says he is right now praying for us. And so his responsibility as my high priest, it is to pray for me. It is to pray for you. But when he sat down next to his Father, he said, Father, they're ready. Remember Jesus said, he said, it's necessary that I go unto my Father. He said, because if I don't go to the Father, he said, I can't send you back the Comforter. He said, I only can be in Jerusalem. I only can be in Judea, but I need my spirit to be everywhere. So he said, it's needful for me to leave so I can send back the Holy Ghost. So he says, because the works that I do, he said, you're going to also do, and greater works than these, because I've gone unto my Father. I need you to hear me this morning. We looking for Jesus, and Jesus looking for you. We looking for God to show up and show out, and he looking for you to slap yourself, come to yourself, so you can be, amen, who you are called to be, a child of the living God, a son of the Most High, anointed by his glory, walking in power, and y'all ain't going to talk to me. Thank you, Jesus. And then on the day of Pentecost, he promised this day would come to pass. after his ascension, 40 days later, men and women were sitting in a chapel service, 120 of them, waiting for the power to be released. Go to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Can I take my time? Look at your boo and tell him it's all right. Look at your neighbor and say, you got a few minutes. The buffet ain't gonna run out of food. I had a friend, he went to Africa and tried to preach for an hour. They almost had a riot in the church. They said, what are you doing? They said, we walked 20, 30, 50 miles with no shoes on, and you gonna give me an hour word? Are you crazy? He preached one sermon for 3 hours, took a break, and came up and preached again. Y'all ain't gonna help, because in America, everything gotta be quick, because you got some, hey man, some place to go, and you ain't got no shackles on your feet. But there's some people that are bound to the gospel and they're hungry for God. y'all ain't gonna look. We live good, don't we? Come on, we don't even wear buddies. We got tennis shoes that's red bottoms. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. He said, we've come too far. And I said that to say I've never preached 3 hours in my life. But if you get sleepy today, they are authorized to drop buckets of water on you. Hey, man, the moment we see a flinch or a sleep or a snore. If you ain't get tired at the club, you ain't gonna get tired on me. Talk to me. Watch this. The Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. They were with what? It says, and in one place. I feel like that's us this morning. All you need is some people that got a heart that's bent towards God, and to be in a place where you give him permission to show up in your life, and he'll come and demonstrate that he is alive and not dead forevermore. Watch this. And verse 2 says, and it says, and suddenly, I like that. Somebody say suddenly. Something is about to happen in my situation right now. Grab your checkbook, grab your heart, grab what aches. Come on, grab your, something is about to happen in this place, right? There's about to be a suddenly moment that's about to hit this place. I feel like God is about to show up. It suddenly, my situation is going to change. I walked into this boy broke, but I left out with a mouth full of gold. My teeth got filled. Diamond stuff. Y'all ain't going to talk to me, but my situation is about to change. Look at your neighbor and say, are you ready for suddenly? I've been, please. We don't need no more color purple moments. I've been fighting all my life. The devil is alive. I'm so tired, hey man, of fighting flesh. What I'm fighting for, hey man, is my spiritual power to fully manifest so I can make that devil know who in charge. I started at the bottom, but now we here. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. We've come too far to stay stuck on stupid. Somebody say, I come too far. I've been through too much hell to play church. I drove 18 hours to be here this morning. And we think we're going to play church? The devil is a liar. And the Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Watch this. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. Watch this. And they were all, somebody say all. Not just a few, not just the elders, not just the pastor. He don't love us no more than he loved you. But the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them. In the room was 120 believers. Baptists. Every type of believer. There was no denominational lines at that time. And the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me take a break for a moment and teach you just some dividing denominational lines. You have to understand that when the Methodists, they minister, they talk about seeing God from a methodology. He has a method in the way that he does things. The Baptists deal with, hey man, the water baptism, and that when you get born again, that's all of God that you get. The Pentecostals, They believe all of that, but what they say is this, is that on the day of Pentecost, when Jesus gave the Holy Ghost, is that he has been here since then and right now. And what most denominations do is they stop right there on what they were taught and they leave you stuck right there because this is what they've been taught. But at the end of the day, if what I have been taught does not line up with a word that I read for myself, because if the devil can do all of what he does with that much power, I still need some power today to change my situation. And I don't care what you call it, I need power from on high. Amen. I need God to flood my soul with his life. And I could care less about a denomination. I had somebody, I was sitting there talking to an accountant, and I knew he was old school. And he looked at me as I was ministering to him. He said, I was born Baptist and I'm going to die Baptist. And I say, I was born a sinner, but I'm going to die looking like the Son of God. Oh, I'm going to die being filled with his glory. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. Somebody shout, I need power. The Bible says, and the Holy Ghost came upon those 120 believers, the whole room. What you need is a faith encounter. What you need is to challenge yourself. I still need the Holy Ghost. This is the next big thing. His presence, his power, his anointing. It will make your life better. It will make your life richer. It will make your life fuller. It will save your marriage. It will save you from committing suicide. It will change your children. In the last days, he's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. Somebody say, I need the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me take my time because I want you to see this. That on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't just anybody pouring out a blessing or pouring out his presence. It was God so intricately thinking about you is that he is able to control the solar systems of time. He is able to handle, amen, all of the things that we see, the oceans and the winds and the fires and the storms. He is able to understand who's going to be wealthy by this time. He understands everything. And yet when you seek him in faith, he centers in his life on you. I want you to see this next text because it shows you how intricately God thinks about you. A lot of times we be saying, God, he don't never answer my prayers. He don't never think about me. He don't come and see about me. But the moment that you come to him about what he wants you to come to him about, he will meet you flat head on and change your situation forever. Watch this. Go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 33. Because he has us on his mind. This is no game. This is no trickery. This is no fluke. Jesus himself has you on his mind when he thinks about what he wants to do in your life. You are never able to handle it in the flesh. That's why we all been so frustrated and aggravated, and we've been so annoyed because we gifted and we got skills, and some of y'all got cute legs, and some of y'all can show more cleavage than others, and we tried to work our jelly and put some fries with that shake. Y'all ain't going to talk to me, but it was never about you. Give your neighbor a high five and say, that's my pastor. It was never about flesh. There was an encounter that God wanted you to have with the true and living Savior. Watch this, because I want you to see the level of care. you ever got a package in the mail that says handle with care? Huh? Have you ever gotten fine china and they say, this is fragile? When God thinks about positionally what he wants to do in your life, he does it himself, and he handles your life with care. I want you to see this, because you think God ain't thinking about you. Acts chapter 2, actually go back one verse to verse 32. Let me put this all in context, because I'm concerned with you. You've been living 30, 40, 50 years with no power. Huh? I understand we all went through our teens and struggled. I did. Huh? I met Jesus in a prison cell in 1993. Come on, 20 years ago. Hallelujah. Been saved 20 years. They can say what they want, amen, about Chip, but I've been on fire since the moment Peaches came preaching in a prison cell, and I done loved him for myself. That's why I love him like I do. So let them talk about me in the streets. Yeah, then you go to Chip Church, you ought to get up and do a two-step and say, he did for me what you've never done for me. You told me to drink it out, smoke it out, sex it out. But the moment that he touched me, he cast it out. He brought it in. He delivered. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. I need somebody who understands there's another level of power and life in the kingdom. And we ain't about to play church. Take your seat if you can. Look at verse 32. This Jesus, somebody say, this Jesus, hath God raised up from where? Somebody say, the dead. We are all witnesses whereof. Watch this. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. Where is Jesus? What is he? Exalted. Oh, this is good. Watch this. And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. What did he receive from God? So watch this. What he promised us in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. When Jesus shed his blood, goes back to heaven on a cloud, sits down at the right hand of God, he then looks over to the Father and he says, I need you to give me that. What you said you was going to do for them, I need you to give me that. You look at your neighbor and say, give me that. So Jesus sits there and tells the Father, we've been waiting for this time for a mighty long time. I know he wanted to sing it, amen, in his Al Green voice. We've been waiting for so long. We've been waiting. Yo, watch this. And so Jesus says, I have come to receive from the Father the promise that you made me, that I would be able to give them through my death, burial, and resurrection the power of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus says, Father, I need you to send me back, but in spirit form. He said, I'm going to stay here and chill with you. He said, but let us send back him so they can be like us. And so Jesus receives the promise of the Holy Ghost. And this is why I say he cares about you, not just the hairs on your head, but he cares about you intricately, passionately. And when you don't live for him the way you can live for him, you're hurting you softly. Because he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we sin, it don't make God weaker. It make us. Because a lot of times we be looking like, oh God, I can't live this life and I've blown it again. And I know you're angry at me. And he says, I ain't like your mama. I ain't like your boyfriend or your husband. I ain't even like Pastor Ken. When you blow it, it don't make me frown. I smile regardless of whatever you going to do, because I understand this. I got enough power in the end to force you to get in position so that you win, and I got enough anointing in your life that I can breathe on you from the inside out, and all of a sudden one morning you wake up and you say, I'm better than this. I can't live like that another day. I can't live in sin another hour. I got too much God in me to be like this. Somebody say, he got it. I got it. We got it. You get it? Got it. Watch this. I'm about to close. Give me a minute. Watch this. Look at how detailed this relationship is. Jesus receives the promise of the Holy Ghost. Then watch what it says. He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Remember what chapter we're in. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Watch this. He's saying that this same Jesus is that when you receive from God, he zeroes in on you passionately and he sheds out on your life his Spirit. Now think about that. The God who creates the universe, at the time when it's time for me to be changed, he takes time out of his schedule to see about me personally. And you worried about a devil? And you fretful over a light bill? If they put me out and my lights get cut off and they take my car, it's because he got something better on his mind. And as long as I'm satisfied where I'm at, I can never step into all that he's got. And so as long as I think that I'm all right, I will live in a place that was supposed to be a temporary dwelling that I'm trying to make a permanent residence. If you think God wants you to be messed up, after all he's been through for you, it's only because you don't know what he's done for you. You don't know the word that he spoke about you. You don't know the promises that he made to you. And you sitting here tripping because you ain't got no job. And you keep on going to Wendy's and the McDonald's trying to make it right. And God is saying, the moment that you leave there and you get to that place that I have assigned for you, I am going to pour out a blessing with your name on it. Hey, man, and it ain't going to be no $8 an hour. I am going to change your situation so drastically that when you come back down the street, nobody knows who you are because you don't look the same, dress the same, act the same, drive the same. Everything has changed over your life. Look at your neighbor and say, won't he do it? He going to do it for me. Somebody say the next big thing. The next big thing. You think that he will go through all that he went through so that you could stay stuck? I'm just trying to get you to be a thinking church right now. Huh? I'm just saying, do you think that he went through what he went through to fulfill prophecy from Joel to the book of Acts so that you could stay where you're at? Let me help you. If you're getting tired right now, y'all grab hands and just everybody hold each other's hands up right now like Moses and Aaron. If you're getting sleepy, watch this. I need you to hear me. Because you've been sad for too long when you can be powerful. You've been broke too long when you can be rich. You've been sick too long when you can be well. And you need some information that's going to change my situation. And so I don't want you to get caught up in this religious thing. I want you right now to open up your heart to receive the engrafted word which is able to save my soul. Watch this. And so go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, and I'm almost done. Somebody say the next big thing. The devil knows that you already got the next big thing. And you're not using it. Huh? This note too can do so much. But I never took time to read out the manual. So I'm just going on basics on what I know how to do. Come on here. I never took time. Huh? Because, you know, it's time consuming to have to read that word. And so it can keep book records, and it can do software, and it can set schedules. But I'm sitting here using this boy to text and to play games and to get on Facebook. When it was built to do so much more. Huh? It was built that if I get a $10 million deal on the table, that I can go in there, build the graph, write out the map, send, hey man, the memo to all of my staff, and then be able, hey man, to send over, hey man, my proposal to IBM, and they can download it and respond back, and they can send me a contract on it, and I can sign my signature. But I'm using it to text and to play Temple Run. Huh? Forget that. What about your life? You were built to do so much more. And you sitting at home complaining about what ain't and who got him and what such and such war and who didn't speak to you in church. If you don't never speak to me, it don't matter. I spoke to myself this morning. Self, how you doing? You sure look good to me. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. I got too much life to be concerned with stupid stuff. Look at your neighbor and say, you got too much life. That's how the devil got us tricked. We supposed to be writing proposals. And we getting our satisfaction from other people playing games with their life in front of us. One in a million, daughter. Thank you, Jesus. I need you to hear me in this place. What are you doing with all this life that you have by the Holy Ghost? Now, I'm talking to two people right now, two sets of people. The first set of people is you got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. You spoke in tongues one time. Then you stop pushing in God for another level. And what you do is, every now and then, you say, ride down the street in my gray blue Hyundai. Bo, 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 bo. Huh? You get into a good church service. Oh, oh shit. Mm. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? And you miss out on a lifetime blessing leading to an eternal, amen, stronghold in God. Because you took it as a one-time event. Go to Jude chapter 1 and verse 20. I'm going somewhere and I'm almost done. But if you've ever been filled with the Holy Ghost, you wasn't supposed to stop right there. You were supposed to go on to perfection. And the reason why some of y'all irritated, because you sit on the phone and talk about nothing. Say it like the rapper said it, day and night. Day and night. Huh? So no prayer, no power. No prayer, no anointing. No prayer, no fixing my stuck situation. But he right there. Where's he at? And so when God gave you the Holy Ghost, it wasn't for a one-time experience. This is group number one. I'm going to get to group number two in a minute. Because I know you're saying you ain't talking to me, Pastor. I'm talking to group number one who would play God so cheaply to act like when you got the Holy Ghost is that you can do what you feel like it when you want it and expect miracles, signs, and wonders by the grace of God. Watch this. I'm just telling you, he gave you something that was supposed to build your life every day of your life. And when you feel weak and forsaken and you feel tempted and you want to go sleep with somebody that ain't your wife and to do something that's ungodly, is that you can dosh, kendohoshe, kalakushka, and you can slap yourself back into reality to know that he is still there. He ain't gone anywhere. He lives on the inside of you. His anointing is in you. His mind is all over you. Look at your neighbor and say, is he talking to you today? Look at this. Somebody say, I have the Holy Spirit for a purpose. Let me say this. It's not so you can be confused. It's not so that you can sound like you have a Flintstone language and don't know what to go past yabba dabba do. It's so much richer and so much deeper. You got a few minutes? I know we are on time, church. And so we're going to walk out the door by 12:15. Pastor, are you saying you're going to preach another 29 minutes? I can if I got your permission. But what I'm going to say is this. Huh? I got five on it. Watch this. Watch this. If you just give me a few more minutes, watch this. Five preaching minutes. Then by the time 12 o'clock get here, we'll demonstrate 15 God minutes. So I'm going to preach about him. Then I'm going to let him show up and do the work. Okay, y'all ready? So I'm group number one. I got the Holy Ghost. But I've gotten so caught up in life and work is that I'm trying to work it out. I'm trying to get as many hours overtime as possible, amen, so I can work it out. I ain't releasing my faith. I ain't speaking to my mountains. I ain't praying the situation through. And I'm not sure enough, not building myself up, because about time I get through working them 14 hours, I come home and sit in my rocking chair, and within a few minutes after eating, I'm asleep. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to think smarter, pray better, and walk in victory. Watch this. So I got the Holy Ghost. I'm group number one. This is why I get the Holy Ghost. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So he says that when I pray in the Holy Ghost, what do? I build myself up. Literally, that word build yourself up in the Greek is where we see a car battery being dead and you having to get it recharged. This is what praying in the Holy Ghost does is when I get, amen, full of the Holy Ghost and I'm praying on a daily on a daily basis in the Spirit, is that I build myself up until now I'm supercharged, and when I walk through crowds, my shadow heals like Peter, and then they can touch the hem of my garment and be healed and delivered. Somebody say, I got to build myself up. You think he came for a one-time event. Well, do you need to be encouraged one time? If you ever had a steak dinner, do you need another one? Huh? If you ever had steak and lobster, would you not like another one soon? Huh? Well, Pastor, that ain't my thing. I'm a vegetarian. Well, if you ever had broccoli, hey, man, and zucchini, hey, man, and glazed carrots and honey, you telling me you don't want some more? Oh, let's make it even simpler. You telling me because you ate yesterday, you ain't going to eat today? Huh? Are you telling me because you drank, hey man, juice yesterday, you don't want no more juice today? So why then would you get God then and not need him every day of your life when he is available? Because if I got God on my side, he will solve my juice problem, my money problem, my wisdom problem, my family problem, my kid problem. He'll solve all of my problems as I tap into the Spirit. Somebody say, I got to work smarter instead of harder. Hello, kuda henshi kada kuda bahi. It sounds like foolishness, Pastor. The Bible says it's the foolish things of God that confounds the wise. Dakushe kande hokushe kada. It sounds crazy. I heard you, Lord. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to go where he just showed me. Because you think this is some Flintstone stuff. No, I'm building myself up every day. Amen. Somebody say every day. Every day. I need to be built up when?
Every day.
When?
Every day.
Now, before I go here to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, let me tell you about this second person. The first person got the Holy Ghost but don't take advantage of what they got. So they got a well-oiled machine that they don't use. They got a Bentley sitting inside their soul that they don't drive. A jet living inside their spirit that they don't even take advantage of. Huh? A pilot in Jesus, a lawyer in Jesus, a banker in Jesus that they don't access. Then there's member number two. I go to church, and I listen right till he get it right about there. I shout with the pastor, hallelujah. I dance with the pastor, my boy, I love pastor. But you ain't got no power. You saved. You love Jesus. but you're not full of his presence. You drank a cup of water, but you didn't get dipped in the Atlantic Ocean. The woman at the well, she drank the water. But Jesus in John chapter 7 said there would be rivers of living water that would come out of you. And so it's the person number two, you saved, but you scared. And when people start speaking in tongues, you get scared. And then you start thinking about what somebody told you from the other church. You don't need that. You don't need to speak in tongues. That's of the devil. Let me ask you this. Has the devil ever given you anything that was good, amen, for your Christian life? He never gave me nothing that made me want to pray. He gave me something that made me want to play. Then when I met Jesus, I turned in my player's anthem and I sang the song, I don't want to be a player.
No more.
And so the devil ain't never gave me nothing that made me want to serve God with everything. But when I met him in a prison cell as a straight-up thug, and back then, thug didn't mean true homie under God's grace. Thug mean I was living for Satan every day. Watch this. So people will say, you don't need that. And so that fear grips you when it's time to come to the altar. It's time to come and get more of God. It's time to come and get those cloven tongues of fire. It's time to come and get his presence. You sit there and you say to yourself, I don't need that. And you hold that seat just as tightly. You almost got monkey bar grips on that boy under you. You saying, I ain't going. Huh? And I'm just telling you, neither one or two isn't saved. They both going to saved. It's just he gives us more to work with and to use. So not only will we make it to heaven, but we can experience the days of heaven upon the earth. He just wants you to have more. It's like going to the car lot with your rich daddy. And they got a little car that ain't got a radio in it. It's new. Stick shift, that boy don't got it. It got cloth seats. It's just plain. But the same car lot sell fully loaded Phantoms. And your father says, you can have whatever you want on the lot. And you come and say, I just want this. I just want to stay right here. Now let me say this. Since we both saved, the vehicle going to get all of us to heaven. But it's the quality of life that you live on earth while you're waiting to go to heaven. Because if you keep praying in your mind, Lord, I pray for little Jimmy, us four and no more. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are. You'll never experience all that God has for you. And he wants to take you so much further and so much deeper. But remember, number two, they get afraid at praying time. Because they've been this way forever. And so since they've been like that forever, they don't want to go no further in God. But not only do I want to be saved, I want to be filled. And not only do I want to be filled, I want to learn how to use the vehicle properly so after a while he can use me so I can lay hands on my own kids. I can go and cast the devil out of my own mama. I can go, hey man, preach, hey man, in my own neighborhood. I can have Holy Ghost parties at my house on Friday nights. The Lord wants to use you. Look at this. I'm done. It's 11:56. Watch this. I'm almost done. This is a language. Shembohosh, badakush, bedekodala be ishbodokush, kide baketo shebaka, neshkushka nehoshebaka, dola budigedeba, ishbandiguda, ishbahaka. A language. This is This is a language. Watch this. Sometimes it's in a language that you can understand, and sometimes it's a heavenly language that only God can understand. Now watch this. What we're comfortable with is this. Me talking plainly to you. And this is what teachers should do from the pulpit as we're instructing. But every believer in their personal prayer life should pray in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because his beloved needs to be filled with the Spirit and supercharged for ministry. So watch this. He said, for though I speak with the tongues of men, of what? And of angels, and of what?
Angels.
And so the language that I'm speaking in, it is the language of men sometimes, and the language of angels sometimes. But all the time, it is God inspired by his Spirit that lives on the inside of me. And God, he doesn't want me thinking that I don't got nothing. When I was a kid, my auntie would buy me socks for Christmas. Huh? Later in life, she would give me thousands. But if I wasn't grateful over the socks, do you think she would remember me when she came into her glory? Because if you can't appreciate the little, so he's saying, even though you start right there, don't stop. Get it. Y'all missing this. Somebody shouted with me, don't stop. Get it. And just because you there right now, don't stop. Get it. I'm talking about he has some life that he wants to pour out in you. And this morning, I want you to get it. I want you to get it this morning. I'm done preaching. This morning, you're here under the sound of my voice. And you have lived a natural life all your life. You've never had an encounter with Christ to be saved. Jesus wants to give you a well of water on the inside that will spring up.